All right. We talked last Sunday about the people of Israel asking God for a king. Remember why they asked him? They were tired of the judges. For a long time, many years, the judges would act on the people's behalf. They would bring, okay, an argument to the judge, and he would judge. Okay. The judges kind of ruled Israel, ruled the nation. But then the people of Israel started grumbling, kind of like what they did, right, like we do, and said, these surrounding nations have kings, why can't we have one? So God said, are you sure? Okay. Chose King Saul. He was a head taller than everybody else. And King Saul was the first king. Who was the second king? David, King David, the shepherd boy. So we're going to talk about kingdoms and kings. Jesus Christ preached the good news of the gospel. Good news was all about him. It's all about the kingdom of God. One of the themes in the New Testament, well, Old and New Testament, is the kingdom of God, God's kingdom. And so we're looking at that over the next four Sundays. We just did last week, today, 18th and 25th, we'll look as well. Kingdom of God is here. It's now, and like we talked about last week, it's not yet. Let's take a look at the text from Luke chapter 12 today. This is also found in Matthew chapter 6 in the Sermon on the Mount. Here it is. And do not set your heart on what you eat or drink. Don't go there. Don't set it on that. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world, the Gentile world, the world runs after all such things. That's what they do. And your Father knows that you need them. Here's what God wants you to do. But seek His kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Father, thank you for your words to us today. Would you, by your Holy Spirit, through your word, impart truth and knowledge into our hearts and minds today and point us to Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. I have a big, thick seminary book on my shelf. I have a lot of them. I'm a book guy, if you haven't noticed, if you walk by my office. There's books. Have I read them all? No. Will I someday? Maybe. That's my goal, is to read the books that I get. One's called Messianic Revelation, and here's what it says about the kingdom of God. When speaking of the kingdom of God, one can focus on the king, capital K. God is the king by virtue of who and what he is as God, because he created, upholds, governs, controls, directs everything in creation, because he's the Lord of redemption. And because he is the consummator and the final and absolute judge of all mankind, things and events. When we think of God as the king and the Lord Jesus as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, which Scripture refers to him as, in especially the book of Revelation, this world is all about kingdoms. And we see two different kinds of kingdoms going on in this world today. Who's the king in England now? Charles. Okay, so we see the royal family. And we see that other nations have kings. So we see earthly kingdoms. But we also see, over and above that, we see God's kingdom all around us. God is our king, and the Lord Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so that's what we're looking at today. The kingdom is all around us. The kingdom is within us. Jesus ushered in the kingdom. And so we're going to try to get a handle on that. Jesus instructs us to pray from the Lord's Prayer. Right in the middle of the Lord's Prayer, it says, let your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Part of the Lord's Prayer. An emphasis on God's kingdom. May the kingdom of God, may it come from heaven to earth. And may we experience that kingdom here and now in our hearts and lives. Jesus also helps us to set up our priorities or our values. We're talking about kingdom values today. When he says in our text and in the Sermon on the Mount, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So here are the kind of people who seek God's kingdom and his righteousness from the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5. He says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. With what? God's righteousness, his love, his grace, his mercy. Those who are saying yes to Jesus Christ by faith, those who are followers of Christ, and we looked at in Sunday school, the word Christians only mentioned how many times in the Bible? 3. And where was it first mentioned in the Bible that they were Christians? Antioch. Okay. A better probably word for a follower of Christ starts with a D. Disciple. Disciple. Disciple is a pupil. Disciple is a learner. Disciple is a student. God wants us to so follow him and so follow his son, Jesus Christ, that we get dusty. What do I mean by that? Way back, the nation of Israel had rabbis or teachers. Disciples often called Jesus by that title. Rabbi. Teacher. Teach us. Show us. Help us to learn from you. And the rabbis back then would teach, and the pupils would follow them, not just their teaching, but they followed what they did and what they said. And they got so close to their teachers and so close to the rabbis that when they were walking the dusty roads of Israel, they got dusty. And that's what a disciple is. He hears, he reads, he dives into the Word of God, as a disciple of Christ, as a follower of Christ, so closely, so deeply, that he gets dusty. God's will for us to desire and pray that his kingdom would break into our lives and remind us that we should align our priorities with the values of his kingdom. Now, this isn't the only place in this text, but it's mentioned in the Old Testament, but specifically in the New Testament, often by Jesus or the Apostle Paul, other writers. And they say this little, it was announced by the angels when they announced Jesus' birth. They begin with, "Do not be afraid. Do not be anxious. Do not worry." It's an imperative. It's a command. Peter mentioned it. Cast all your what? Anxiety. Cast all your care on him. Do not be afraid. And we see it in this text today. So there's a theme of worriedness. How do we combat worriedness? Let's talk about that for a moment. Do you worry about things once in a while in your life? Do you worry about various things, whether it be your health or your work situation, or maybe at school you worry about too much homework? Can you raise your hand if you get too much homework? Yeah. All right. Oh, there we go. Okay, it kicked in now. Yeah. Too much homework. We should never have homework, right, guys? All right. I hate homework. Yeah. Okay. Homework's a good thing because you're learning, right? No, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. But we worry about all sorts of things, don't we? And a lot of those things are here in this realm, earthly realm, this earthly kingdom stuff, this horizontal life that we live. You know, you and I are citizens of a kingdom, both really two kingdoms. We're citizens of heaven and this kingdom, spiritual kingdom, but we're also citizens of this earth. We're citizens of this country. Most of us here, I think. And so we live in this horizontal kingdom as well. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said this, "The kingdom of God and his righteousness are sharply distinguished from the gifts of the world which come our way. That kingdom is none other than the righteousness of Matthew 5 and 6. The righteousness of the cross and of following Christ beneath the cross. Fellowship with Jesus and obedience to His commandment come first. All else follows. That's what it means to seek His righteousness. Seek Him. Seek His righteousness. Seek a relationship with God the Father Almighty and His Son, Jesus Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Seek first this, and all these things will be added. Does that mean that He'll give us everything that we want? No. Or desire? No, not necessarily. He's a loving Father, and He knows what He's doing. And He'll give you exactly what you need. That's what this is all about. Seek first His kingdom. All these other things, they'll be added to you as well. The unbeliever, or as our text describes them, did you see in the NIV it says pagan world? There's another translation that talks about it as the Gentile world. They think about these things and live them. They run after these kinds of things. What kinds of things? These physical elements, these things in our lives that whether it be success, worldly success, or maybe it's a job, or maybe it's a thing, a monetary thing, or a material thing. They're running, the pagan world, they're running after all those things. They don't understand this relationship. They totally understand this one, or try to. But they don't get this one, this relationship here. And this one only comes through God, through His Word, through His Son, Jesus Christ. So the child of God, those who are in Christ, live by a different standard. We live by a different system. We saw it. Remember in the video that we played there? The kingdom is described, and it just said three of them. The fruit of the Spirit said love. Those are the first three. Love, joy, and peace. Do you remember the other six? Let's see if I got them here. I got them. Some of you can say it by heart. Can't you? You got to buy. You can sing it. You want to come up and sing? Love, joy, peace. I don't know if you all heard that, but He did them all. I remember them in clusters. There's three clusters. Think of them as a cluster of grapes. Okay, I've got love, joy, peace. I'm gonna have to look because I can't. I didn't sing it. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness. That's your second cluster. And gentleness. Oh, wait a minute. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. Faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are all gifts, but notice it's the fruit. These aren't necessarily conjured up by your own power and strength. It's not yours. These are gifts of grace by the Holy Spirit. They're His fruit, and He showers them. He showers the child of God, the son and daughter of the King. He showers the one that has said yes to Jesus by faith. He showers them with these gifts. These are yours. And He wants you to grow in them. C.S. Lewis said it this way. If you read, so what are we to think about and what are we what's to be in our hearts as followers of Christ as we think about these things and living in this kingdom? And we're citizens of two kingdoms. What are we to think about? C.S. Lewis said it this way. Do you want to have an impact in this world? He said, think about this. If you read in history, you will find that the Christians, the disciples, who did most for the present world were precisely those who thought most of the next. It is since Christians have largely ceased to think of the other world that they have become so ineffective in this. That's true. Apostle Paul said it this way. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Does that mean we can't think about things here on earth? Can't think about this or can't think about that? No, that's not what it means. He talks more about the focus. What is our focus as followers of Christ? And I was going to use a prop, and I'm going to go get it. Hang on. Stay here. Nobody leave. Caitlin, look around. If anybody leaves, you let me know. Okay? So, did anybody leave? No. Good. So the focus for a follower of Christ is Christ. That makes sense? The writer to the Hebrews said this. There's a great cloud of witnesses. And there's a sin that so easily entangles that we can throw off because of Christ. Right in the middle of that little passage in Hebrews chapter 12, it says, so fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, who endured the cross before him for the joy that was set before him. You're the joy. Okay. So I was out watching a girls' softball game this last week, and I thought of this. I'm a baseball guy, as you know. I'm softball. I still do that. This was a gift from Chris. It's a Minnesota Twins bat. It's not a life-size bat. It's a little bit shorter. But anyway, I'm watching all the girls hit, okay? And all my coaching instincts just rose to the surface. I'm yelling stuff out. Keep your eye on the ball. You ever heard that when you're playing ball, baseball or softball? Keep your eye on the ball! My dad said that. He was right, right? How do we hit the ball? You keep your eye on the ball. Watch it hit the bat. There was a technique that I used to teach when I was coaching, and it was this. I was a lefty, so I'm batting this way. Okay. Now, a young hitter has a tendency to bring our shoulder out this way. All right, bear with me. It's only going to last about 30 more seconds. All right, when you do this, when that shoulder comes out like this, and you throw your hands at the ball with the bat, tendency, your head's going to go with the shoulder, and you're going to miss that ball. Then you're going to hear a coach or your parent say, keep your eye on the ball. Okay, so here's a technique I taught him. Your chin starts at your front shoulder. Okay, you see that ball coming? But it ends on the back shoulder. Okay, so I'm going to miss the ball when my head goes like this with my front shoulder. Ooh, strike three. Okay, or I may have a chance to hit the ball if I do my chin on the back shoulder. Boom. Triple. Oh, no, home run. Yeah, home run. Okay, so how does that translate to your spiritual lives as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? Okay, you're a citizen of two kingdoms, an earthly one, a natural one, and a spiritual one. How do you live here now in this kingdom? I told my players that I coached, I told them, keep your head down, like your parent would say, or your other coach would say. Keep your head down. Watch the ball. Here's my advice for you as a follower of Christ. Keep your head up. Set your heart in your mind on heaven. Set your heart and your mind on Christ. Then you'll be able to live both in this kingdom and eventually in that kingdom. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you for your love for us. And you showed that love to us by sending Jesus to the cross. But Jesus, thank you that you didn't stay there. You came out of that tomb and you rose And you ascended back into heaven with your Father. And you said you'd send the Holy Spirit, so thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Would you, Holy Spirit, lead us and guide us and help us to focus on Christ with our raised heads, focused on the kingdom to come as we live in this kingdom here. In Jesus' name.